Welcome to Minute 119 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Mark Hoffmeyer from Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome back, Mark.
Oh, great to be here. And I got to tell you, since the last episode, I have that tunnel in my backyard that my wife and I built, and I have the hole. This time, I built it out, and I dug a big enough hole to get a grand piano through it and up it.
Very nice. And I wonder why you would mention anything about a piano at this point.
Goon Mark missed it completely.
Because he's just, we know he's adult, so.
He's thinking about his coffee and biscuit.
That's right.
Okay, wait. What's like popular Polish jam? Let's look this up. Popular Polish jam.
From 1944. We gotta know.
Yeah, popular Polish jam. And it's August, right? So what would be out during that? So 1940s. Let's see. Is there anything about jam? Let's see. Actually, Polish survivors pay homage to Maharaja who saved them. That's pretty interesting. Polish cuisine. Let's see. I'm just going to put Polish jam. I don't want to do Polish jam 1940s. Because we also have to think about
music.
What was in
season. You'll get music.
Yeah.
You get polka music.
Plum butter. Boom. All right. Plum butter sounds wonderful.
There you go. Now you know what Goon Mark is going to be having on his biscuits when he's drinking his coffee and drinking his Coke Zero a little later on.
Man, that's a good... I would look forward to that if I was a goon. Hey, after this, I'm going to eat a delicious biscuit with some plum jam, have a nice coffee.
Yeah, but you also don't know what's in store for you in a few weeks. You know, after everybody realizes what happened tonight, they're sending you to the Russian front.
To be fair, that's why I'm going to enjoy as much jam as I can while I can.
Yeah, but enjoy the jam. But you and I both know you're not going to be able to enjoy it because before you finish your shift, everything is going to hit the fan.
Yeah, that's true.
You may be dreaming about your plum jam, and you may be dreaming about your coffee, but we know you're not going to get to it.
But when I change, so I'm going to go back in time and convince them otherwise.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
If that's the case, background, then you're good.
In the background, you're going to hear, you're not going to understand why, but you're going to hear it in English. Like, Goon Mark, time to take a break. Switch out with Hank. And then you're going to see me go, okay, see you later, Hank. And then I'm gonna go enjoy some biscuits and jam and coffee. I'll see you later. And then that's Hank who gets in trouble.
Okay. Hey, if it works, why not?
Yeah.
So minute 119 starts with Danny standing at attention and goes all the way until Roger explaining to Hendley about the new plan.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, we continue the scene from yesterday where Willie was able to convince Danny that it's about time for him to man up.
Yeah.
Get out. Danny then goes and typically like someone like Charles Bronson, he just cuts in line. You know, he then jumps into the trap, which is pretty funny. He literally jumps in there. You know, mm-hmm. He's not looking for the ladder. He's just jumping down. And as we've established, you know, it's supposed to be 30 feet down. That's pretty dangerous to be jumping that way. Now, I just want to point out one little thing. As you see him jumping in, do you notice something coming out of the tunnel itself?
No, what was coming out of the tunnel?
There's a wire coming out of the tunnel.
Oh,
because,
electricity?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
That's electricity. Yeah. This movie amazes me every single time that we get to see how much detail they're going to go into for this type of thing. You know, they're not only building the trap door, they're gonna have a wire coming out of it so that if anyone asks, you can actually see how they got the electricity in there. Mm-hmm. I've discussed this in the past, how in the real escape, they were able to get electricity. Apparently, there were some German electrical workers that came to do something one day, and when they weren't looking, the prisoners stole a whole bunch of supplies from them, used them for their own uses. Now, these German electricians were a little scared to actually tell anyone that that their stuff got stolen, so they never even reported it.
Oh, I bet you Goon Mark was watching the truck at the time.
It could be. Or maybe there was nobody watching the truck at the time. And that would be.
I mean, that's the same thing, right?
It depends if we, if he's dreaming about his plum jam and coffee, or yeah, something else. Who knows?
That sounds really good. I am gonna go to. I have a place with a ton of jam in the country near me. Next time I go to my in-laws, I'm gonna stop there and see if they have some plum jam, Polish plum jam.
Circa 1944.
Are you an MMA fan?
No, not at all.
Oh, so right now the light heavyweight champion, John Blachowicz, 205 pounds. He's a fighter. They call it Polish power. And if you think about it too, Bronson, he has some guns in this movie. He's Polish power.
Yes.
No in this as well. That. So he can jump down 30 feet and just land.
Yeah, but he is. What's funny is he's based on another. Well, he's based on one of the real escapees whose name was Danny Kroll. Okay, where they give a description of him that he was a little Pole, 5 feet tall, a saber champion. Now, I wouldn't necessarily classify Charles Bronson as being little and 5 feet tall. You know, they actually introduce him in the original book at the same time they talk about Ives, about the two of them being, you know, Ives' real name was Piglet.
Oh.
They were tunnel kings because they were so small. They were able to dig so easily. So it's pretty funny that they decided to give us someone who's more beefed up, you know, like Charles Bronson, to make it seem that, okay, this is the guy who's going to be doing the tunneling. I think it's more when they showed us a few weeks ago when he was, you know, breaking into the foundation. So there you need someone who really needs to have, his guns that he's got.
You know what's funny about that scene? I just broke up my so we have a screened-in porch in our backyard, and I didn't want to pay somebody to take out a concrete slab in my backyard. So it's about 10 by 10 concrete slab. So I bought a sledgehammer and a crowbar, and I broke up my concrete slab. It was horrible. So why
did you have someone playing music at the same time or singing Christmas carols? Doing it to the same tune?
To the beat? We did have music playing.
To the beat.
We did have music. My wife was out there carting the concrete after I hit it. But it was miserable. So watching that one guy outside whacking that whatever pole was out there with his sledgehammer while Bronson whapped the concrete floor there. That's tiring. That's tiring right there. So you're right. Yes.
Well, if you go back and look at that scene, you'll see that there are four guys standing there, and all of them are really, really strong. And, you know, they have to have a lot of stamina. So they must have been switching, taking turns.
Yeah.
But Charles Bronson was doing it all himself.
Do you think if they had they would have used the heck out of Excel spreadsheet back then? Attenborough, using Excel spreadsheets? Imagine their spreadsheets. Sure. Like, what time to be hitting stuff with sledgehammers.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
And I like, too, that... Oh, never mind. I'm going way back. When I like the Varner, they're okay. Like, hey, can you get these two pieces of tile? Yeah, I saw something similar to that over there. I'll go get it. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That is...
So, we can use something from the bathroom. They have that in the washroom. No one will notice that we take the tiles from there.
Yeah.
You know, and switch them. Yeah, no, I discussed that when I came across that when we were discussing that scene. It was just it was just really hilarious because he really needed to know where everything was.
Yeah,
as you said, he really needed a spreadsheet.
No, also, we've talked about cheeky gags being cut out of this film. How do you feel about the McQueen gag where he's carrying all the bedposts and then that guy jumps onto his bed? I think you
Cavendish.
Yeah, Cavendish. You're right. You needed that as you needed that as a, like, this is what happens when you take these things out. So I guess you needed that, correct? Because if you just take them out, you need to show that these guys also have some issues sleeping in their beds.
Yes.
Okay. So that gag is worth
it. And doing it in a funny way helps lighten the tone of the film.
Yeah, because they're not like, well, you took all the wood out, so now we can't sleep on it, because if we sleep on it, we'll fall through. Like, that's not...
Correct.
Yeah.
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 No, but the best part about it is that you know, you see that McQueen debates whether to take another one or not. Right beforehand. Then he's like, why not? What the hell?
Yeah.
Danny and Willie disappear into the tunnel, and you see Cedric just looking at them, which, again, they just jump right in. It's as if they're diving into... you know, into a pool or something like that, you know, just feet first,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty interesting. And then they skip to showing us once again Bartlett and Mac, who both look really worn out from what they're doing. Their hair is both of their hair is messed up. You know, that they're for everything that they've been doing, you know, just by pulling the rope for all the trolleys coming through. And they're like, Blythe's right behind Mac. He's right behind. So they know that they're bringing Blythe through. Blythe comes through. As we discussed yesterday, he's pretty much blind.
Yeah.
They take him off nicely, they just calm him down, tell him to sit down.
He looks pretty relaxed down there. Like, he looks pleasant.
He looks really relaxed, but he also looks like he's has no idea what's going on. I think he's relaxed because he just doesn't realize how scared he should be.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know that it's Goon Mark that's up there watching.
Yeah, he'd be much more. See, I bet you everybody went, that's Goon Sven up there. And I was like, oh, no, not Goon Sven. We got to be careful with that guy. Because if they said Goon Mark, they'd just be playing music down there. They'd be grilling.
It's true.
It would be a whole thing. But Goon Sven, you don't mess with him.
That's very true. So then we go back to seeing Cedric at the base of the trapdoor, and Soren says to him, he says, well, it's your turn, Cedric. Now, one of the things that's interesting is the order of prisoners. You know, in the original book, they describe that they did a lottery for a lot of the prisoners to decide who's going to go and who's not going to go. And there were a lot of them also who were integral to the whole escape system, to the whole X organization, that they didn't let them go because they said that they still need to keep some of the people back to be able to help dig more tunnels in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't send everybody out.
How would you feel about that, saying that you have too much, you're too good at what you do to let you go?
Now, here's the thing. I mean, it's their responsibility to be as big of a, like, to harass, confound, and confuse the enemy. So if Bartlett or one of the other leaders says, hey, you got to stay behind, I figure that you are knowing that you are doing your part. And if they all get caught and they don't have another tunneler who knows how to prop stuff up, then I think you play your part. I think they had a relatively comfy life in this film inside these barracks.
Yes.
But they just want to confuse and harass the enemy and get that manpower. So that's a great question you ask, but listen, you'd want to escape, but also if you're the best digger and no one else knows how, I could see how they would want to keep you there. So you're just playing your part.
Right. Exactly. Now, Brickhill himself says that he was originally supposed to go out, but he got a bout of claustrophobia, and they basically told him that he can't go because of that. He obviously wrote that he was somewhat grateful after everything that happened, you know, that he wasn't one of the ones who who was able to get out.
Yeah, if you're the digger, if you survive,
is a pretty bold statement for an author to write in his book, you know, when he's talking about his, you know, 50 friends that were all murdered.
I mean, what?
You know, for him to say, well, I'm glad that in the end I wasn't chosen to go.
50 of the 74, correct?
76.
Oh, because it was 70. Oh, got it. I mean, and that changed all the Geneva Convention. That changed a lot, this incident.
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
But you're not there yet. We'll talk about
this. No, not very far, very far from that. And hopefully I'll have someone very knowledgeable on the subject to discuss that when I get to that minute.
I do a lot of reading about that. World War II, like Operation Mincemeat, In the Garden of Beasts, which I think is one of my favorite books. It's about the American diplomat who was in Germany in the 1930s and like wrote notes back about the rise of Nazi Germany and just all the contributing factors. Yeah, it's called In the Garden of Beasts, a wonderful World War II book. But I read like Operation Mincemeat, how they dropped that.
Who's that written by?
Ooh, same guy who wrote Devil Night City. It is Eric Larson. Eric Larson wrote that. It's called In the Garden of Beasts. It's thrilling.
Actually just saw a movie a few weeks ago called Mission to Moscow, which is all about Ambassador Joseph Davies, who FDR sent to Russia to learn about the Soviet system and stuff during World War II, during the 1930s. And he was there throughout World War II also. And he went through Germany and also learned a lot about what was going on in Germany at the time.
Yeah,
that was a fascinating movie based on a book. And that was a movie that came out in 1943. you know, as the as everything was still going on.
This sounds really stupid, but imagine you're undercover and then that movie comes out and you're like, no! But I understand it was beforehand, but geez Louise. Also, I want to watch Operation Finale right now. It's about the hunt for, like, Joseph.
I've heard of that.
I don't, it's for the doctor, no. Yeah. Let me type this in. Cause it's about, how they went to Argentina to get one of,
Oh, wait a second. I've seen it.
Oh, is it any good? Okay. Eichmann. They went to get,
I liked it. It's with Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley. It's trying to capture.
I think it looks pretty cool. Like, I want to, it's on Netflix right now. Oh, in America.
Okay, if you say so. That I don't know.
All right, I got to watch that now.
I saw it a few years ago. Cool. I liked it. I found it very good. Soren decides to take over for Cedric. Cedric, who's sitting on a bench, stands up and then happens to have a very large
piano
that he takes with him. And then we get Soren saying to him, "What the hell you got in there? A piano?" And Cedric's response is, "That's pretty funny, mate." Then he says, "Well, you won't get that through." And then I love his response. "I'll cope."
Yeah, I love it. And then they talk about kangaroos.
"I'll figure out some way to get through there."
And he copes, and he does a great job.
Yes, he does. He does a very, especially in the final script.
With a piano.
Exactly.
Now, you know, the director was talking about, or I was listening to the commentary. I think it's the director. He said that Coburn really did pack that case. I don't know if you had read this. And they had a scene.
No, I'd forgotten about it. I read it once, but I forgot about it.
They were thinking about filming a scene where he packed it and had everything in there. But Coburn really did put stuff in there to be in character. Because the way they wanted to kind of portray that, I mean, the manufacturer. So, he, mm-hmm. like, very meticulous in what he needed. And so they had, he knew exactly what was in his case in that. So I thought that was pretty cool. It added a touch of, I mean, obviously it looks lighter than what it is, so it's not probably a fully packed thing, but he did think about what was going to go in there, and Coburn put a lot of thought towards it. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, sounds like it. So at this point, then we get the trio of Cavendish, Griffith, and Goff showing up. And, you know, they're having a discussion after the fact. They're saying, was that Cedric with his trunk? And the response is, who else?
Yeah.
Meaning, who else would be an idiot to do that? And then Goff's response is, "I wish he was home with his kangaroos."
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean? I mean, obviously, he's Australian. He should be back in Australia with his kangaroos. Is he basically saying that he's going to ruin it for everybody? Which, it's funny that the trio, that this trio we're talking about it, because, you know, as we'll see in about 2 weeks, Cavendish and Griffiths are the ones who cause all the problems. So it's a little bit foreshadowing, you know, the way that they're doing this.
Yeah. Listen, Coburn knows what's up. Coburn is not going to mess up. He knows.
Not in this script.
That's funny. You just wipe stuff out.
Yeah. I'll discuss that more in detail when we get to it. When he's going through the tunnel next week or the week after. So people will be able to hear what you already know.
Yeah.
I've hinted things. See, I'm teasing things so that people will want to come back and listen to more.
Also,
then we switch the
shot. In case you want to come back for more, there's a great scene involving a motorcycle later on in this
movie. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to want to hear about that. You're going to want to hear
there's also a great scene with Cedric and a bicycle.
Yeah, there is. That's a great scene.
There you go.
He's a good bike rider, I think.
He does a nice job. Especially being able to balance this trunk.
And the wire cutters, too, right? The wire cutters, the trunk.
Well, the wire cutters he's probably got in the trunk.
That's a really tense moment, too. Because you're thinking, are they going to get him? Also.
But, give away. Wait for someone else to be able to talk about those minutes.
Never mind. All right, yeah.
If you want, we'll do a bonus show with you, just you talking about Cedric.
Riding a bike. How's that? bike riding in cinema.
Exactly. Then we cut back to seeing Henley come off the trolley with Colin still sitting there, really looking like he's in complete daze, not knowing what's going on. Henley's about to go up, and Roger says to him, "We're 20 feet short."
What?
And how the hell?
That's what it is.
How the hell? At that point, Roger, I love Roger because Roger is a no-nonsense manager. He basically says, he just stops him in his tracks, stops Henley talking and says, we're 20 feet short. Hiltz is on the other end of the rope in his hands. And as soon as you, and then it gets cut off. That's the end of this minute.
I love that reaction. And Goon Mark never heard it.
As soon as you feel, and we don't know what he's going to be feeling, as soon as you feel a sweat, as soon as you feel, it's just great the way that Attenborough is able to play this character so well throughout the movie that any point, he's almost never flustered. He always, doesn't matter what's going on, he's able to gather his thoughts and deal with the situation as he can. So we're at the end of the minute. So once again, Mark, I have a top five for you. All right, we're going to talk about top five pianos in movies.
Oh.
Or movies featuring pianos, or where pianos are very prominent to the movie. Now I got to admit, the first movie that came to mind, I actually had to go research, and I couldn't find that there really was a piano in there. I don't know why I remembered that there was. For some reason, I thought that The Money Pit had a piano in it, but it doesn't. So that wasn't part of my top five. But I just thought it was just really funny, the fact that when I was trying to think of these, that was the first one that popped into my head incorrectly.
It's funny with that movie. You picture it falling through the floor, or you picture it rolling downstairs.
Exactly. It fits in perfectly there.
I almost see it. Jeez whiz.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right. Well, you can still use that when you're ranking. How's that? Well, I'll let you use that in your ranking, even though it doesn't really feature a piano. All right. So we got, obviously, the piano. You know, Holly Hunter, 1993. And everyone gets to see Harvey Keitel in as if he was digging a tunnel.
Full Harvey.
Exactly. Then you got the pianist from 2002 with Adrian Brody. Thank you.
And a can of fruit juice.
There you go. That
leaks out on the floor.
That's correct. Which I'd be grateful for that too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Then you got Five Easy Pieces, where you have Jack Nicholson on the back of a truck playing a piano in the middle of in the middle of getting stuck in traffic. You have Michelle Pfeiffer in Fabulous Baker Boys.
Oh.
Okay, where she gets to serenade while on the top of a piano. And then you got the most recent film to deal with music and pianos. You got Soul. So, how would you rank those?
Okay. I mean, The Pianist. Because, no, not The Pianist. The Piano.
Okay.
And then I'll say The Fabulous Baker Boys. Then I'll say The Burbs.
The Burbs wasn't here. The Money Pit.
Oh, The Money Pit. And then
maybe
I'll
the
say,
Burbs they were hiding under.
Let's see. Yeah. I'll say Soul. And then I will, let's see, Five Easy Pieces. And then last, The Pianist, because I had a radio show in college talking about movies. And we got in a lot of trouble because my co-host, who was a maniac, a radio show, he started talking about how The Pianist is so good, and like The Pianist is going to be a big thing, and how everyone should see The Pianist because the pianist is really important. And he went on like a 5-minute pianist gag because meant. And we got in trouble, so it brings back bad memories.
Okay. So I'm putting have you that seen left. The movie though? Besides,
I love it.
So it's a great movie.
Yeah. Polanski though. Okay. Polanski. Yeah.
You know. I look at it this way. You know, people have a lot of issues with actors, with directors, with producers, with things that they do in their personal life. Okay, but when you look at a movie, you have to try to disassociate the movie with the real people, and you look at the movie for what it is. Meaning, everything that happened with Kevin Spacey is atrocious. Everything that happens with Mel Gibson, atrocious. But that doesn't mean you can't like their movies.
No, it's real. And listen, when that juice was leaking from that can, I have never felt more anguish in my life. I just remember that radio show when I just had to have him talk about The Pianist. And then he was talking about planes crashing post
9/11.
2001. Yeah. And it's just, it brings back bad memories. Because that was the beginning of my end of my radio show. So I'm going to say that.
I can hear that. All right. I will give you that one.
I'm associating.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Well, you have anything else to say about this minute?
No, it was great. Right. And we had a good trunk. Big, big, best trunk next to Darjeeling Limited, I would say.
Go.
All right.
I'm not a fan of that movie, but I at least understand the reference. There you go. So, Mark, you want to come back tomorrow to finish off the week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I'm in.
You want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, Movies, Films, and Flicks. Movies, Films, and FLIX, and Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Also, look for me at the Polish Power Minute. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to start one.
All right. Sounds like fun. So while you're looking for the Polish Power Minute, you can go rate and review and subscribe on any podcatcher they might be using to listen to this show. Email is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And you can reach us on Twitter at GreatEscapeMXM. So until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.